Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast, guys. On this beautiful Friday afternoon, October 11th, guys, near Halloween, we got a lot to cover. Today it's Friday on this beautiful day right before the weekend. Hell, after 5 o'clock, it is the weekend, guys. We got a lot to cover. Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, everything that's happened in MLB playoffs from Monday morning to now. We'll also look into college football and NFL for this weekend, guys. So much to cover, so much to talk about. Friday episodes are my favorite, and if you can't tell by my energy, then, I don't know, my energy probably sounds mid over the mic, but anyways, yeah, guys, so much to talk about, can't wait. So, yeah, guys, let's hop straight into this. Alright, before we dive into Monday Night Football or whatever, real quick, I want to talk about the NBA. The NBA season, of course, is in preseason right now, but regular season starts on the 22nd, and I was thinking that next Friday, the 18th, that's probably going to be the first half of the NBA predictions, where I'll cover probably the West. And then on Monday, the 21st, the day before the NBA season kicks off, cover the back half of it, which either would be the East or West, give predictions on awards, talk about breakout players, this and that. That's probably going to be the goal because, you know, the NBA season is right around the corner. So I just want to let you guys know, for all my NBA heads, all the basketball fans, you know, just had to let you guys know real quick, man. But yeah, that's probably the goal. Next Friday, I kick it off because this upcoming Monday, which I think is the 14th, yeah, I don't think I want to cover NBA right there because there's going to be a lot to talk about still with the MLB and the NFL and the college football. So, no point in talking about NBA there. But, yeah, the 18th to 21st are the two podcast days I feel like it's best to talk about the NBA before it kicks off. But, yeah, that's all I had to say real quick. Now, let's get into some Monday Night Football. All right, I had to take a little break in between, you know, that and Monday Night Football just because, you know, there's some construction outside my house. And also started up playing Sparking Zero. But, anyways, let's talk Monday Night Football, man. I was in attendance for it. I was there. I saw Patrick Mahomes with my own eyes for what I say. Shit, that might be like the 8th time. I don't know. Really don't keep up with the games. I totally forgot when the last time I was there before then. But anyways, my boy Patty, man. I thought he had a really clean game, excluding the juju drop that went to Colin Saunders. A lot of people post-game thought it was rigged because Colin Saunders' brother is a backup dancer for Taylor Swift. So much of rock brain people just started talking nonsense after the game. But anyways, Patrick did throw 28 completions out of 39 attempts, 331 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. He also did have 22 rushing yards. The boy got a few first downs, but what caught my eye was for sure Kareem Hunt, who had 27 carries for 102 yards. You know, he's not going to sustain this for, hell, I don't even know, 4 weeks, because that's a lot of mileage on a guy that's near 30 and has been in the league for years, guys. He can't do that all the time. And same thing for Juju, who had 7 catches for 130 yards. He can't maintain that performance every week, but luckily this week you're on a bye. You handled business. You got the win. Offensively, I was impressed. You could run the ball. Travis Kelce got his. Juju got his. Kareem got his. Patrick Mahomes looked very clean, excluding the drop that led to interception. I mean, hell, dude. Carson Steele didn't look bad, wouldn't lie to you. Excluding that one toss play he got popped on, but I won't say that's his fault. But Xavier Worthy also did get a touchdown. I think, was that a rushing touchdown? Yeah, I guess you'll call it that. He also had 3 catches for 25 yards. Ultimately, I thought it was a good game for the offense. You know, you're heading into the bye week. You know what Andy Reid after the bye is. But with the way this offensive injuries have stacked, I don't know if I should believe that. With the Niners next game up, but this is what it is. Offensively, I thought you did your job. Defensively, I'm still impressed. Only held the Saints to 13 points. I mean, dude, I'm speechless. You know, these guys are really good, you know. They are. I mean, yeah, you gave up 2 touchdowns to Derek Carr, but I'm not going to cry about it, you know. Brian Cook had an interception, but he also got fried by Rashid Shaheed later in the game. Nick Bolton had 6 tackles, excuse me. You know, they said 5 assists, 6 solo. You know, oh my gosh. Excuse me. Chris Jones was dominant all night, in my opinion. Just was unblockable. He had 1 QB hit. No sacks, but his presence was known. Very known, man. Trent McDuffie was locked down as always. Chris Olave, I think only had 1 target. Did he get 2 catches for 10 yards, and he had, I don't even know, bro, 4 targets? Yeah. Dude was on locks all night. Rashid Shaheed was probably their star, but 4 catches, 86 yards for Tutty. Alvin Kamara was just locked down, 11 carries with 26 rushing yards. He did have 40 receiving yards, though. It is what it is. Defensively for them, I mean, you aren't gonna stop Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs. I mean, it is what it is. You just aren't. 26 points was the thing. It was what? If I'm not mistaken, it was four field goals from Harrison Butker, two touchdowns. I don't want to see that every week, but I'm okay with winning this one. I was in attendance for it. Royals won the same night, but I'll talk about the Royals in a second, man. But yeah, I really can't say too much about this game. You won by 13. You dominated time of possession. You had 30 the ball for 39 minutes compared to the New Orleans Saints, who had the ball for 20 minutes. Not nearly a 40, nearly a 20 minute difference between time of possession between you guys. And I think that was huge, man. They're able to control the ball. Everybody's like, you could beat Mahomes when you have more. You hold the ball longer than him. In that case, with the way we're playing, I wouldn't mind that if we're doubling time of possession versus every team we play. But that's not going to happen all the time. The Niners, you're not going to do that against. They're going to force some things. They're going to force Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball to these mid-ass receivers. They're going to be locked on the run. But that's a whole different discussion as the Chiefs are on a bye and they don't play till, what is it? I'll talk about that next Friday. Anyways, though, yeah, man, proud of the Chiefs. Not the worst Monday Night Football or primetime game I've been to in the last 5 years. I think they played the Giants in 2021 or two. And that was a terrible game right there. They also played the Titans on Sunday Night Football. That was a terrible game right there. Anyways, though, I hope to be in attendance for the next Monday Night Football game where we host the Bucks. I want to be there. We'll see, though. Don't know if it's in the cards, but yeah, guys. Great win. Let's go, Chiefs. And now let's talk about some MLB, unfortunately. You guys, first series we'll talk about is Royals and Yankees. We're sitting here Friday, and the Royals are eliminated. Lost in four games to the Yankees, unfortunately. We're going to talk about the first two games, with excitement. Because that's the unfortunate reality of my schedule is, I unfortunately can't talk about games like that every day. But yeah, on Monday, watching the game off my phone. Luckily, I sat in front of some suites that had the TV going so I could get a little peek of it. But yeah, Royals won that one 4-2 on Monday. It was a Salvador Perez game-tying home run in the top of the fourth that sparked the whole inning. I mean, it was a fourth inning, excuse me. Michael Garcia had four hits on the day, 11 hits in total for the Royals offense. Jazz Chisholm hit a late game home run to get them to up down two, I guess, at that point. Bottom of the third, I think, what was it, Giancarlo Stanton single? Yeah. Got him up, bottom of the third. Excuse me. Perez ties it up, no doubter to left. Tommy Pham single with one out. Garrett Hampson single with two outs. Michael Garcia single with another two outs here at 4-1. Rodon stuck his tongue out to the Royals, excuse me, dugout. Didn't pay off for him. He got shelled. Fourth inning, out the game. Royals tied up 1-1, going to Kauffman. Excitement there. Don't even think I got to pull up the damn Wednesday game. I was there in attendance. Seth Lugo just hasn't been the same guy, man, he was like in the regular season. I think, if you even won this series, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think he would have been a big contribution. Be honest. Maybe I'm just looking past it, but dude, he threw nearly more balls than he did strikes. He couldn't find the strike zone. Maybe it was a lot of bad calls. Of course, being in the stands, I'm not on TV where I can see the strike zone and stuff like that. But yeah, I bet two earned runs, two strikeouts, four walks was the big one. Unfortunately, Chris Bubich came in the game, lost us his game. He had two walks, and of course, gave up that bomb to Giancarlo Stanton. That left me silent, dude. But what was it? The bottom of the fifth, man. I'll never forget that. Even yes, we lost, but man, the excitement, the energy from those two hits, that inning was just unmatched, dude. It was electric. I wish we could have got another one on the board, man. Hell, late eighth or ninth inning rally would have probably sent me to the moon in excitement, but this is what it is. Clark Schmidt handled his job, went 4 and 2 innings. Only gave up 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. Luke Weaver was electric all series. So this is what it is. Aaron Judge went 0-for-4 on that night. Giancarlo Stanton was the killer, and I guess Game 3 and 4, Jazz got handled. I mean, he got booed all night, went 0-4, bum ass nigga. Anyways, yeah, you only gave up 4 hits and 30 at bats, dude, and you lost the game 3-2. The offense didn't want to show up. You had 6 hits and 32 at bats. Terrible, I guess. Bobby did get a hit that day. Vinny could have scored Bobby when he was on third with 2 outs. They didn't get there, unfortunately. Salvi got a hit. Yuli got a hit. Yuli was just a few feet away from a home run. That was electric as well, you know. It is what it is. You know, everybody was still confident heading into that Thursday game. Lugo on the mound. Excuse me, I'm dumb. Lugo's not on the mound. You know, everybody was confident for this game. You had Lugo on the mound. You were hoping Lugo could give you 6 or 7. You shell Clark Smith. That didn't happen. Lugo couldn't find the strike zone. He gave up 2 runs. He was just not in it. You had to take him out. Offense couldn't live it up. They couldn't beat Clark Schmidt. Kept striking out. This is what it is. The reason this game was so important because you knew who you had on the Yankees had on the mound. Next game, it was Gerrit Cole. You know, Gerrit Cole's just dominant, and that's exactly what he was, unfortunately. So we talk about game four. It was Gleyber Torres. Excuse me, it was Juan Soto scoring Gleyber Torres, who hit a first pitch double. Boom. Juan Soto with the single. Yankees up 1-0. Tommy Pham couldn't get the ball fast enough, but they're not worried about Tommy Pham in the right field. They're gonna run on it, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. You know, he struggled defensively, I think, all night. He made very questionable decisions. Not to say decisions, but he couldn't just field a ball properly. He dropped it a few times, which kind of annoyed me. But top of the fifth, another single, Gleyber Torres this time. Yeah, man. And then it was Giancarlo Stanton, the single that scored. What was it? Aaron Judge. Yeah, is what it is. And then Vinny responded in the bottom sixth. And unfortunately, I thought Kyle Isbell rocked something. What was it? The bottom of the seventh? I thought he rocked the game tie home run, but just a few feet. Juan Soto caught it. Yeah, Gerrit Cole was electric all night, in my opinion. Still with 7 innings, 4 Ks, 6 hits, 3 of them from Tommy Pham. Gave up 1 earned run. Royals. Like I said, 6 hits. 0-4 from Massey, 1-4 from Witt, 1-4 from Vinny, 0-4 from Salvi, 0-4 from Yuli. 0-3 from MJ, 3-3 from Tommy, 0-3 from Isbell, 1-3 from Maikel Garcia. Fortunately, Urse gave up a run. Sam Long was okay. Schreiber was okay. Gave up 2 walks, though. I mean, Angel Zerpa, cool. All four guys I just named, real quick, I'll rant about the team in a second, but. For Bobby and Vinny, it's going to make them better players. You know, they didn't perform as well. I'm not upset about Vinny. It's what it is, brother. You had a broken thumb. You aren't 100%. It's what it is. Michael Walker, though, I think pitching was the death of us. You know, our top three best pitchers. I think Reagan's delivered game one of the wild card series. I think Seth Lugo was good, and then his stuff started to break. Couldn't finish out the game as we thought he could. You know, he was eh. Game two in the wild card. Game one for Walker, he was eh. Could have won that game still, but Walker was eh. Reagan's, he was okay. Lugo, yeah. Walker, ugh. Walker got shelled all night. It is what it is. Not gonna complain. It was a great season though. 56 wins to game four of the ALDS. I'm grateful for these guys, but before I go into any other series, I need a rant. For guys like Bobby, Vinny, this is gonna make them better players. I think Bobby will and Vinny will be better regular season players because. Let's be honest. If it wasn't for the Minnesota Twins falling off of Earth, the Kansas City Royals would have had a great collapse and would have been the laughingstock of the MLB and would have missed the playoffs after their hot start. That was the pace they were on, but luckily the Twins did even worse than them. So I expect Bobby Witt Jr., even after an MVP-like season, one he would have won if it wasn't for Aaron Judge. He's going to perform better in the regular season, I think. I think Vinny will too. Salvi will, like, it's going to be a lot of motivation for these guys. Massey, Witt, Pasquash, Perez, it's going to be a lot of motivation for these guys, but I want to talk about the roster construction, because in my opinion, catcher, first base, second base, shortstop, are all four unlocked, your closer slot is unlocked, and I was about to say, those four guys I named earlier, Urseg, Long, Schreiber, Zerba, I would all willingly bring back, plus Hunter Harvey, sort of like 5 bullpen arms, I'm for sure. Would be okay with staying, but if you can upgrade, upgrade. But you need to add another piece or two, for sure. Maikel Garcia, if you have to upgrade at third base, I love him. I wouldn't mind him on a bench in an occasional DH spot, because DH is an open spot as well. But I think MJ Melendez and Maikel Garcia should be on a bench, and they should be occasional DH guys on a day Salvi's maybe catching, and Fermin's maybe not being a DH. Either way, like I said, Salvi's going to be DH half of the time. And Fermin's going to catch. But on those days he's not, I want you to either get a veteran bat that can crank home runs. Hell, J.D. Martinez. Somebody like that, you know. Somebody that could just, old head that could get you home runs, be your DH. I don't know. Maybe Michael Garcia or MJ Melendez can share that a little. I don't want them off the team. I just don't want them starting no more. They can be good bench spots. So I think you could upgrade at both of your corner outfield spots and third base. I think center field can stay. I'm okay with Isbell staying. I think his defense is positive. You know, but the thing is, I want him to be the nine-hole hitter. Nobody should be worse than Isbell on offense. But anyways, ninth or eighth-hole hitter. But yeah, so you got that left field, right field, third base, need to all get upgraded. When I talk pitching, you need 2 to 3 more bullpen arms for me to be okay. Like I said, Urseg, Sam Long, Schreiber, Serpa, I'm all okay with play. And Hunter Harvey. Those five guys, plus 2 to 3 more bullpen arms, yeah. Rotation-wise, Lugo, Reagans, back at it again. That's your 1-2. Next year, I would like to see Seth Lugo with less innings. Because if you expect to make the playoffs, I want Seth Lugo to be, you know, he's getting older, so I want him to be a little more prepared, a little more healthier, his arm a little less strained from the regular season innings, because he had a lot of them. Don't know the stat, but I know he's probably top 5 in AL for innings pitched. So I would want that to go down. Yeah, Reagans-wise, he's going to be back. Cy Young candidate again, I think. For another 3 spot, I think Waka, I think he'll stay. Depends on how the front office feels. I think he will be back. I wouldn't mind it. But if you do bring Waka back, you need a strong 4 and 5. I'm okay with bringing Brady Singer to be that 4th spot if the price is right. If not, see him. I'm not paying him $20 million. All right. I'm in between. I'm going to say $12, $13 million is the right spot. I'm not paying him $20 million. All right. Maybe your 5th spot goes to Kyle Wright, who's injured all year. You know, the guy had 21 wins, what, 2-3 years ago? Maybe you give him that 5th spot. If not, it can't be Alec Marsh. You know, it's up to, it's, you know, who's going to be that 4th or 5th spot. If I'm okay with it being Singer and Wright. If not, if Singer doesn't want the price or you feel like Wright isn't right enough, no pun intended, then yeah, go get some other guys. Like the bench-wise, though, I think Paul DeJong is worthy of staying there. But if you're going to move Michael Garcia down, I think he might have to just be DH. See if you can get popping that back to his, what, 2023 form. See if you get that popping back. Keep him on the roster. Maybe Paul DeJong still. Maybe Tommy Pham. I think this last game, I respect his performance. I wouldn't mind him off the bench, but depending on how he's feeling, you're going to have Freddie Fermin back. You know, so that's the goal. You know, I've seen, you know, guys talking about Tyler O'Neill, Anthony Santander. You're going to have to make some moves, man. You did it last offseason to improve a rebuilding team to a playoff team. So what are you going to do now that you're a playoff team? Are you going to make the moves to make this playoff team a World Series team? Or are you just going to be like, you know what, we're content with what we have, and you're going to piss on all the fan base and their dreams? Because, hell, I want to see you I want you to fix what was the clear flaws of all year. I know Michael Garcia was electric in game 2, 4 hits. I know he was clutch in the wild card series, but the thing is, he was a negative all year. So go upgrade that third base spot. You need corner outfield regardless, okay? MJ Melendez can't be started next year, nor Hunter Renfro. Go upgrade, all right? DH, like I said, Salvi will be DH some of the times, but I think DH will be a toss-up between, Salvi, Fermin, MJ, Michael, DeJong, if those all those guys stay, maybe Tommy Pham, or all those guys stay on the bench. Pitching-wise, 2 to 3 more bullpen arms. Starting pitching-wise, figure out that 4 and 5 spot. If Brady Singer is willing to take a pay cut and does it overreach on his contract, bring Singer back, maybe Kyle Wright. I'm interested. Make some trades. Prove to the fan base that we should be there hoping today. Prove that we need to be back in our seats every game this regular season because you made the moves. You did it last year. Were we there all the time? No. But now you made it to playoffs. You proved that you're a playoff caliber team. You got the stars. You got the superstar. Now go add some more moves. Get us excited, man. Under the Dayton Moore era, under that time period, the offseason was the worst. I didn't think you need to be. I wasn't excited for nothing, man. If I'm not mistaken, I think his name is Josh Taylor. I think it is. He was the biggest signing we had one offseason. Maybe not the biggest, but he was the first of a multi-week stretch where the Royals didn't do nothing. Disappointing. It used to break my heart every offseason. Now under JJ Piccolo, prove to me that you're trying to get this playoff team that lost in game four of the ALDS to the World Series. Prove to me that I need to be at least 20 to 30 game home games next year, because you built a roster that is worthy of me spending a lot of money on your ticket. All right? I want to see upgrades in the corner outfield spot, third base, field board bullpen arms, and figure out that 4 and 5 starting pitching rotation. Sorry I had to rant so long about the Royals, man, but now let's talk about the Padres and Dodgers. All right, man. Padres, Dodgers. All right, Michael King on the mound. I thought this was a surefire win for the Padres, and, well, I stand corrected. At first, it didn't seem like that, though. Mookie Betts, this time, I thought Jerickson Profar, who could be a Royals target, by the way, just want to mention that. Hey, he's an unrestricted free agent. Royals could go after him. They should. Anyways. Mookie Betts nearly got robbed by Profar again, but he did it. Hits a home run, 342 feet to left. Of course, Dodgers up 1-0. It is in the bottom of the second, though, where the Padres quickly respond. Ground fielder's choice, gets a runner in, boom. Two-run double by David Peralta. And then another out, you're up 1-3. RBI sack fly to center, that's 1-4. And then a two-run home run for Fernando Tatis puts it up 1-6. But quickly, you get three base hits, bases loaded, no outs, boom. Freddie Freeman out, line to left. Had a snap real quick because Teoscar Hernandez, grand slam. Padres, Dodgers, electric so far. Dodgers only down one. Can they come back? Can the Padres extend their lead? No. Game ends 5-6. Well, if I'm not mistaken, hell, I don't know if... Gosh, there might not be another hit in the rest of the game. Yeah, there's like one or two hits after that, dude. Bullpen's locked in. Lay locked up. Padres win this one to go up 2-1 in the series. They have one more home game. They handle business. And yeah, they're up 5-6, man. Now we sim to what was Wednesday night, the four-game action. I don't got to say too much, though. It was Mookie Betts again with the home run in the beginning. 403 to center. He's alive. And then Shohei Ohtani, single. Mookie Betts, single. Both driving runs. 3-0 Dodgers. And... yeah, two-run home run by, I think, what, Will Smith? Yeah, to center, 5-0. Is what it is. Dodgers dropped their nuts. Dropped their nuts on the Padres to tie the series up. Left San Diego speechless, left people leaving early. And yeah, they win this one, 8-0. Tie the series, Friday night baseball. Dodgers, Padres. Yu Darvish versus Yamamoto. It's going to be a good one. Yu Darvish was electric game two. Yamamoto got shelled. What was it, game one? Yeah. All right. It's going to be a good one. Can't wait for that. My prediction, Padres win this one in a blowout fashion. Give me the Padres winning this one. 8-2. They score 8 in the first 5 innings. Dodgers bullpen locks up. But Yu Darvish goes 8 innings, closes it out. Padres go on, and it's going to be a Padres-Mets NLCS. Can't wait for that one. Now, let's talk. Wait, this should be the. We're going to talk about the AL last. The last AL series, of course. Excuse me, guys. Tigers, Guardians. So Monday, before the Royals game, sitting there, Chiefs parking lot. Just guys, just locked up. I mean, it was just a masterclass of pitching. Trey Skubal in 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, only gave up 3 hits. Best pitcher in the game. Just best pitcher in the game. I mean, if you don't know ball, if you don't think Tariq Skubal isn't the best pitcher in the game. But for the Cardinals side of things, Matthew Boyd gave you a decent performance. Only 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Steven Kwan, great defensively. But your guys just went hitless. I mean, it is what it is. Eli Morgan, if that's his name. I don't know. I think it is, right? Yeah, I got that one right. But your bullpen went, they handled business. It wasn't until Emmanuel Clase came in the game. I think it was bottom of the eighth. But then it was Cary Carpenter who hit a 3-1, no doubt. I'm like, you know what? Clase's going to get shelled here. Something's going to happen. Snap of my fingers. Cary Carpenter hits an electric, no doubt home run. Silences the Guardians crowd. And now they tie it up. They send it back to Detroit. And yeah, 3-0. Just an electric win. They send it back to Detroit, and they do the same thing. They win 3-0. Guardians bats weren't alive. It was a bottom of the first single, and then a sac fly in the bottom of the third, and then a double in the bottom of the sixth. That's all it took for the Guardians to lose to the Tigers. Now the Guardians, down in Detroit, down 2-1, need a big game. Big game four to come back and tie this up and send this thing back to Cleveland. They only had 6 hits on the day. Alex Cobb, old man, only went 3 innings. Threw 41 pitches and they took him out. Detroit, though, they handled business all around. That's what they did. Now they're one win away in Detroit. Crowd's hype, electric feeling, and it was just a back and forth game. It started with the Cleveland Guardians, a run single, top first. But boom, Detroit matches in the bottom of the second. RBI sac fly. And then it's a solo, no doubt, home run from Jose Ramirez, one of the best in the game. Shout out that boy. Zach McKinstry, home run, bottom of the fifth, matches it, 2-2. Then it's a RBI single from, what's his name? Winciel Perez. Yeah. Hell yeah, bro. And then it's a 2-run home run from David Fry, top 7. 4-3 Guardians. Then it's a top, it's a sack bunt. Extends the lead, top 9. Tigers could only get one more run, bottom of the 9th. That's ball game. Guardians locked in. I don't really got to talk about pitching. I'm going to talk about the hits, the big clutch hits. They handle business. They take this back to Cleveland. And while I'm at it, I'll give my prediction right now. Unfortunately, the Royals should be playing this day too, but it's what it is. 12 p.m. on a stacked college football Saturday, which I'll talk about in a second. Guardians, Tigers, noon. Give me the Guardians winning this one. All right. I think Tariq Skubal pitching again. But I think this is a game that goes to target Guardians' favor. I love Tariq Skubal, but I think this game is going to take one hit. I think it comes from either Stephen Kwan or Jose Ramirez. One hit, one home run. My final score prediction, it's Guardians 2, Tigers nothing. I think the Tigers get shelled all day. I think the nerves come in. Guardians get a run, one run early on Skubal, and that's enough. He gets out the game late. They add one more later on, but yeah, it's my prediction. So you heard it first. Padres, Guardians win the final, the game fives of their both respective series, and it's going to be Guardians, Yankees, ALCS, Padres, Mets, NLCS, and I'll talk about that, those series on Monday. But yeah, last series to talk about, let's talk about the Phillies and Mets. This one goes four as well. Let's fucking go, Mets. It's just, I don't even need to talk about this one. Francisco Lindor, game four, bottom of the sixth. One or zero outs, don't know. Cranks a grand slam. They're down 0-1. Boom, now they're up 4-1. That's all I need to talk about. The Phillies disappointed. The Royals got bounced, and somehow Padres or Dodgers lose, whoever loses is going to be more disappointed than what Royals fans are. So I'll keep my chin up on that, that we'll probably be one of the happiest fan bases in the playoffs, even after getting eliminated in the ALDS. We'll probably be top 5. You got the World Series winner. Shit. World Series winner. Royals fans, Tigers fans, World Series loser. And then everybody else follow that back. What if the Dodgers or Yankees don't win it all, they'll be last, alright? I don't know why I just rambled about that, but I don't need to talk about this Mets-Philly series. Philly's got worked. All series. And it is what it is. You just weren't good as the Mets. The Subway Series is still on. It's still a chance that we'll see the Mets versus the Yankees. I hope that's not it. I'm okay with either Mets or Padres versus Guardians, but yeah. I'm not going to say it. There's no more to talk about with the Phillies. They just got work. Francisco Lindor, just killer, man. One of the best players in the league. He's so fun to watch. Offensively, defensively. He's just that guy, man. But yeah. Phillies lost this one, and that was the MLB Division Series right there, man. An electric one. And they still can be electric with two more games to go. Game 5, Padres-Dodgers. Game 5, Guardians-Tigers. Can't wait for those ones, man. But electric, to say the least. And yeah, let's switch tides and talk about Thursday Night Football that just happened last night. What did I tell y'all guys on Monday? What did I tell you guys about the Seahawks? I said, if you don't run the ball, you're never going to win a damn game. And guess what happened last night? They only had 52 rushing yards, dude. I mean, I'm just disappointed. Kenneth Walker had 14 carries for 32 yards. He averaged 2.3 yards a carry, man. That is disappointing, dog. 52 rushing yards? Zach Charbonnet, where you at, brother? I know you got some carries. 5 carries for 20 yards. I mean, dude, what are we doing here? When you can't run the ball, you're not going to beat a team like San Francisco. 52 rushing yards? What are we doing here, dog? It's disappointed. I knew something was wrong when I heard, what was it? Andrew Whitworth, post game. I had the game on, walked out, came in. Andrew Whitworth is talking about how they can't run the ball. And I'm like, brother, I agree with you. You can't win the game if you can't run the ball, especially against a team like San Francisco. Disappointing. Breaks my heart. You need to run the damn ball. Instead, Geno Smith, old ass, is throwing the ball 52 times and completing it for 30. He had 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 312 yards. Tyler Lockett, 4 catches, 65 yards, a touchdown. Noah Fant, former Iowa Hawkeye. I think they go by the Hawkeyes. I don't know. 6 catches, 63 yards. JSN, 5 catches, 53. DK Metcalf, brother. 3 catches, 48 yards. I mean, LaViscus Chenault Jr., excuse me. Kickoff return. Shout out Hill, man. We need more of those to make up for this disgusting kickoff formation. Anyways, still disgusted. 52 rushing yards. I don't know. I don't even have the words, man. They had freaking, what is it? 358 total yards of offense. 304 of that. 306 of that came from the damn passing game. Disappointing. San Francisco on the other side. 483 offensive yards in total. 228 rushing yards. That's how you do it. For the passing game, though, Purdy had 255 passing yards, 18 completions, 28 attempts, 3 passing touchdowns, to a whopping 0 interception. He also had 4 carries for 19 yards. Big Deebo Samuel, big baby, 3 catches for 102 receiving yards. He broke a big one, I think, 76 yards for a tutty. And 1 touchdown, of course, 117 yards in total, as he had 4 carries for 15 yards. Isaac Grindle, I think former day 2 pick out of Louisville, had 10 carries, 99 yards, had a 76-yard run. Kyle's huge check, had 3 catches for 10 yards, also had a rushing yard and a rushing touchdown. Jordan Mason had 73 rushing yards. I mean, bro, that's how you do it. Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, boy, just put up duds. 3 catches for Juwan Jennings, 27 yards, 37 yards for Brandon Ayuk, 2 catches. Anyways, that's how you do it. That's how you run the damn ball. 228 yards for the winning team, 52 for the losing team. When you lose games, that's why. It's because you can't run the damn ball. Defensively, 2 interceptions. One went to my boy, Renardo Green. Shout out him. The other one to, it's got to be the right guy. Yeah, I clicked on the damn wrong name. What's his name? Malik Mustafa. Don't know if I pronounced that right. Think I did it very wrong. 1 interception for him, but yeah. That was Thursday Night Football. I don't want to talk about that game anymore because I'm getting upset. I'm sweating. I'm getting hot because of the fact that the Seahawks, 52 rushing yards. I've been talking about this all year. You aren't going to win any games. You aren't going to be any good if you can't run the damn ball. Every game I've said they're going to be good in is because they ran the game ball. Excuse me, the damn ball. All right? The games they've lost is because they can't run the damn ball. They should have lost to the Patriots the same day they barely had any rushing yards, but no. Patriots just suck. We'll talk about the Patriots a little later, man. But that's it for Thursday Night Football. Niners win this one by 12, 36-24. And we can talk about some college football now, you know. I can relieve some stress. And you know, I got to point out some Friday games. Every time I talk about college football, we got to point out the Friday games. Some games for you guys to stay inside on Friday nights. This one, I'm going to just go for it. Utah, 4-1, number 16 in the country. Arizona State University, 4-1, not ranked. Utah favored by 5.5 points, 9:30 p.m. Big 12 at dark. Oof. Big 12 after dark, excuse me. Big game we got right here, man. Arizona State with a win. Puts himself in Big 12 title contention and get their self-ranked. For Utah, it's another heartbreaking loss, and you slide down, potentially unranked, kind of sliding yourself out that Big 12 race. Nobody wants to be with Kansas, though, my ass niggas. Anyways, any other games going on? We got Big 10 action. Northwestern versus Maryland. We also got some Mountain West, UNLV versus Utah State University. But we're not here for Friday. We're here for Saturday's jam-packed day, man. If you want to watch some good ball, you want to watch one of the best teams in the nation, you put your eyes at 11 a.m. ESPN2, Mizzou Tigers 4-0 versus UMass 1-5. Mizzou favored by 27 points. I don't know. I say UMass covers it. They'll probably only lose by 20. You know. Anyways, for Mizzou, not gonna talk long about it. I just need to see if you're for real because the season's not over. We just saw Alabama lose to Vandy. Your season's not over. You can beat every other team on your schedule. But yeah, guys. I mean, shit. You can do it, brother. You can beat Oklahoma, Auburn, Arkansas, Alabama. You can do it, all right? So you got to prove to me that you can handle business and blow bad teams out. If you can, if you come back, defense looks stifling. They stop the run. They stop third down conversions. Boom. I believe in the defense a little more. If offensively, Brady Cook can lock in, hit a few deep balls. Luther, everybody can get their mojo back. We roll into momentum, and hell, next Saturday, when you take on Auburn, you maybe can garner that juice again and get on a roll. But let's talk about this Saturday. Forgive me. In other news at 11 a.m., you got Washington, Iowa, Big Ten action. And also, Mizzou's going to win that game. That's my prediction. Washington, Iowa. Give me Washington for the upset. Iowa's favored by 3. Doesn't matter. Give me them Huskies. Big Ten action. Don't got to get in depth about these teams. They do. Next, USC versus Alabama. Number 7, Alabama. 4-1, USC. Oh, my gosh. Forgive me, guys. I just called South Carolina USC. Just forgive me, y'all. South Carolina, 3-2 versus Alabama, 4-1. Number 7, Alabama. Alabama's favored by 21 points. I would put South Carolina to cover that. I don't think they win. I think Alabama gets the win by maybe like 10 points. I think 20 was a little ridiculous. I think we'll see Jalen Milroe lock back in. Crimson Tide, they'll look like themselves again. Bad game is what it is. You're going to come back and look a little better. So give me Alabama by 10. For the rest of the 11 a.m. squad spot, if you got Big Ten Network, you can watch Wisconsin 3-2 versus 4-1 Rutgers. If you got ESPN Plus, go watch some action. 0-5 Kent State versus 1-4 Ball State. Anyways, I'll move on. You got 5-0 Pitt, number 22 in the country versus 3-2 Cal. ACC action 2:30. ESPN Pitt's favored by 3. They win more than that. Give me Pittsburgh by a touchdown. They continue to climb up. Hopefully not over Mizzou. But then we get around that 2:30. You got a few big games, man. First, you got CBS 2:30. 5-0 Penn State versus 3-2 USC. Penn State's favored by 3.5. This is where they lose. I can't believe Penn State's ranked 4th in the nation. It's eating at me because we know they are ass. We know they're frauds. This week it gets proved. USC's going to cover. They're going to win at home by a touchdown. Give me the Trojans, dog. Zachariah Branch. What's his name? Miller Moss? Give me those guys, dog. We're winning, brother. Go Trojans. Go Trojans. We're handling this shit, bro. Big upsets, big dubs. Give me the Trojans. Next up, though. Number 1 in the country versus number 18. Red River Rivalry. Ooh, I love this one. But it ain't going to go by the way we think it is, man. Texas favored by 14.5. But we know teams elevate their status, their jump mojo, their juice, their ability when it's a rivalry game. So Oklahoma covers the spread, I think. I think they do. But I still think they lose by 10 points. I think Texas will control most of this game. Oklahoma will try to come back late. But Quinn Ewers and the number 1 Longhorns, I think they are victorious in this one. Give me them by 10 points. Not to say Oklahoma's bad, but I need Oklahoma to lose. Yeah. Anyways. Later down in the 2:30 slate, nothing really too crazy. 2-3 Stanford versus 4-1 Notre Dame. I just hate how they're always on NBC. I don't even want to talk about that game, man. Later in the day, though, BYU 5-0, 14th in the country versus 3-2 Arizona, 3 p.m. on Fox. BYU's favored by 3. Give me BYU to cover that one. Nah, to handle that one, not cover it. Give me BYU, man. I think they'll score the win by a touchdown. No, I'm thinking Arizona can cover that and lose still, but nah. Give me BYU by a touchdown, man. You got Florida, Tennessee. I don't got to entertain that. Billy Napier is getting blown out. Give me Tennessee by 14. Their spread is 14.5. Give me Tennessee by 21. Anyways, it just pissed me off. All right, I think the big game of the day. Oklahoma. In Texas. Big game of the day. Biggest maybe the year because it determines their Big Ten path and the college football playoff path. But, 12 teams. They'll both make it. Anyways, Oregon, number 3 in the country, hosting number 2, Ohio State University. Ohio State is favored by 3 points. I don't know who to go with, man. Big game Ryan Day or Dan Lanning. Dylan Gabriel versus Will Howard. Playmakers, Jeremiah Smith, Evan Stewart. Gosh, I don't know who to go with. I don't know, man. I can't wait for this game. This is going to be the first college football Saturday I get to sit at home and watch all these games, and I'm excited. Granted, at 11 a.m., I'm not watching no other team but Mizzou, but that doesn't matter. A lot of games on multi-view, can't wait. Oregon at home, Give me Oregon. If this is at Ohio State, Ohio State wins this one. I think home field advantage is the difference. Oregon is going to be livid. They're going to be hyped. Give me the Ducks. Give me the Ducks by a field goal. Late game. I don't know, man. Both teams are going to make the college football playoffs. Hell, both teams will probably run into each other in the Big Ten championship. That's just how it is. You know, I'll rant about the playoffs in a second, but it's going to be a big game. Can't wait for that one. Give me the Ducks. At the same time, though, on ABC, you got number 9 Ole Miss versus number 13 LSU. Ole Miss 5-1, LSU 4-1. They're in Death Valley. Give me the Tigers. Ole Miss is favored by 3.5. Tigers cover that easily. I think they win by a touchdown. Garrett Neusmeyer, I think they handle business. Dude, at home, if they weren't on the road, I'd go Ole Miss. But at home, Death Valley, they're going to be hyped. I think another loss versus... Ole Miss plays Georgia. I think Ole Miss plays Georgia and Texas. I'm not mistaken. Let me look at their schedule. It's Oklahoma they play instead. So, they still have comp on the schedule. So, I think a loss to LSU kind of puts them out of college football playoff contention. All right? Because you still got to play Georgia, and I think that's a loss. And I think Oklahoma could beat you as well. So, another loss for Ole Miss, and I think they're out. For a lot of SEC, and Big Ten schools, the two loss is where you separate yourself. That second loss is where you kind of separate yourself because, shit, you could easily fall off, man. So, that's where I think for the college football playoffs, even though it's 12 teams, I think two losses for teams will drop them off badly. You know, but that's just my opinion. Anyways, I guess the biggest game of the night to cap it off, ESPN, 9:15 p.m., number 18, Kansas State, 4-1 versus 4-1 Colorado. Kansas is favored by 3.5. I think they easily handle that. I think they win by a touchdown or more. Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards, what's it, DJ Giddens? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, DJ Giddens. Give me those guys. I think Colorado, with a win though, gets ranked. We'll see the Buffs ranked again, dude. It's as crazy as it seems. We'll see them ranked again, and they'll be at the top of the Big 12. They control their own path at that point. You know, their schedule isn't tough, man. They will control their own path at that point. Because after you get Kansas State, you travel to Arizona, play them. Then you play Cincinnati. And then you got Texas Tech, Utah, KU, Oklahoma State. Now that back schedule is a little tough. I don't know if you want to really count Kansas out. I will, so give Colorado that win. But you got Texas Tech and Utah, two Big 12 powerhouses right now. Oklahoma State later in the year. You still got Arizona after Kansas State. So, hell, if you tell me Colorado runs the table and they win all those games, I'd believe you. If you told me they lost all the games, they lost to Kansas State, Arizona, Texas Tech, Utah, and Oklahoma State, I'd believe you. But it's a big game for these guys, for the Buffs, man. They control their own destiny after this win. But I can't wait to see that, brother. That's going to be good. But if you want to see the best running back in the nation and the Heisman favorite, got Ashton Jeanty, 10 p.m., CBS Sports Network. That's a game I'm probably going to put on multi-view with Kansas State and Colorado. Dude, he's electric, dude. Ashton is an amazing player, and he deserves to win Heisman. So as I'm vouching for Boise State to keep winning so he can be the G5 representative, and he wins Heisman, because I don't care what you got to say. I love Travis Hunter, but Travis Hunter isn't doing historic stuff. We've seen two-way players before. Now, at the level he's doing it, maybe. Maybe nobody's ever been that good of a DB and receiver, but we've seen the two-way stuff before. We haven't seen what Ashton's doing in years. If you compare the last running back Heisman winners, he's already like 400, 300 yards above where they were at this point of the season. And unless injuries come into factor or Boise State falls off, I don't see a way he doesn't win it. You look at Boise State's schedule. They got Hawaii this week. Next Friday, UNLV. But then it's San Diego State University, Nevada, San Jose State University in Wyoming. They very well can be 11-1. And we're sitting here saying he is the Heisman favorite and he needs to win it. I think he deserves it. He's done everything. I mean, dude, look at the stats. Just the stats. 1,050 rushing yards, 16 touchdowns. Nobody else comes close. I can't wait for that one, man. It's going to be a great night of college. It's going to be a great day of college football action. I really can't wait. One of the best weeks we'll see. And we'll probably, I don't know. It's just going to be an amazing week, guys. Can't wait for that one. Can't wait to talk about it on Monday. But, yeah. Give me Boise State winning that one by 28. Give me Kansas State, like I said, winning by 7 points, a touchdown. But yeah, that's it for college football. Let's wrap it up with some NFL. All right, guys, let's talk about it, man. So to kick it off, NFL Network, London game. The London Jaguars are back in action as they take on the Chicago Bears. The London Jaguars, unfortunately, didn't leave they're old. We're not going to talk about the city they came from, but the London Jaguars didn't make it back to London until what? Thursday, which would be Friday, I'd say Friday morning, in London time. So hell, maybe Friday afternoon, London time. So I think they lose this one. I think they get wiped by the Bears. Yeah, Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, across the pond, Roman Dunze, they're gonna make some shake. If the London Jaguars had more time, the rest up in London, I'd probably give this more of a toss up. But I don't know, man. London Jaguars will have the power of London behind them, so this game will be close. Give me the Bears in a late game field goal. It'll give the Jaguars something to feel good about that you didn't get blown out or lost by more, but you also will lose, so that'll suck too. But give me the Bears win this one, man. Fox, you got the Packers versus Cardinals. Kyler Murray, Jordan Love, two of my favorite quarterbacks in the league. This was hard to choose between. I don't know, man. This is very hard. Right now, I got the Packers winning, but I don't know, man. I love Kyler Murray. I love what they're doing right now. Give me the Packers because they are at home. I will go with that because they are at home. Give me the Packers. Yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna go with. That's where my heart will stay. That's just because the Packers are at home. A little early for the Cardinals when they usually play. So, give me the Packers win this one. But I got another game. I get another game. A game-winning field goal this week. It'll come from the Packers game. Packers will walk off the Cardinals. Game-winning field goal. That's my prediction, because I think the Cardinals will keep this one close. Jordan Love might not be back to form again, and Packers don't look the best, but I think they'll still get the win off. Next up, we got Titans versus Colts. Anthony Richardson is questionable while Jonathan Taylor is out. I was deciding on if I should give the Titans this one, but I'm gonna trust Joe Flacco. I think Joe Flacco locks in another week, or because I don't want to see Joe Flacco get hit with that Andy Dalton where you were electric one week as the backup, and then he just sunk again. That very well could happen, and I won't be shocked. But overall, give me the Colts. I wouldn't be shocked if the Titans win. All right, that defense has been really good in my opinion. I wouldn't be shocked if they just smother Joe Flacco in that offense, and they just win in a random ass 12-9 game. Wouldn't be shocked. But give me the Colts winning this one. But like I said, won't be shocked if the Titans win. Next up, Houston Texans travel to New England for Drake May's debut. I can't wait. I probably would have went with Patriots if it was any other team, but the Texans, dude, I think too good of a team to just lose to the Patriots. Texans already got that loss out the way versus what was it? Who did they lose to? The Vikings. They already got that bad loss out versus the Vikings, but hell, the Vikings look good. And the Vikings are currently on a bye, so they'll rest up. But the Vikings look good, so maybe that's not a bad loss. Maybe they still can get one. Maybe it comes this week versus Drake May, but I don't see it. Give me the Texans. And then another rookie making their debut, Spencer Rattler, gets the start whilst Derek Carr is out with an oblique injury. So it's another thing, though. Another rookie QB getting their start at home, but they lose to a better foe. Give me the Bucs beating the Saints. Baker, Mike Evans. I think that team's just really better than the Saints all around. Spencer Rattler is going to get hit with a lot of pressure. Todd Bowles is going to cook some shit up, man. Yeah. Give me the Bucs winning this one. Next up, Eagles Browns, don't gotta talk it for long. Give me the Eagles. I think the Eagles will have a game statement. This will be a statement game. They're gonna blow the shit out of the Browns, in my opinion. I think they will handle business, and we'll get one week closer to Amari Cooper being a Chief. I think they're gonna start trading guys off once we lose, because it's like, what's the point of keeping all these guys if they're not happy and we suck? Deshaun Watson will throw a few interceptions, and the Eagles will just walk out with a huge statement game, a lot of sacks. It'll just be domination all over the field. Give me the Eagles. So this is my upset of the week. Next game, Commanders Ravens. Give me the Commanders. This is gonna be my upset of the week. A lot of games I felt like they really weren't upset worthy. This is the biggest upset worthy game of all. Commanders Ravens, two teams from the same area. What, the DMV? The DMV action? I don't know. Maybe talking out my ass right now. Anyways, give me the Commanders in upset of the week. Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin. I think they're gonna connect well. Ravens do give up a lot of wide receiver ones going off. Devontae Adams. Rashee Rice. CD really didn't go off, not gonna lie to you. So Rashee Rice, Devontae Adams, Ja'Marr Chase. Look around, those guys all went off. They're letting guys go off, and I think Terry McLaurin will go off too. Jaden Daniels gets a big upset win. I hate comparing Jaden Daniels to Lamar Jackson. Anybody saying Jaden Daniels is a better passer is wrong. Anybody trying to compare the two is wrong as well. It's a rookie versus a excuse me. 6-7 year vet, 2-time MVP. No reason to compare the two. While not appreciate them both, man. Two black quarterbacks. Can't wait for this one. Commanders will get the upset of the week. That will wrap up the early afternoon slate. Let's get into the weak-ass mid-afternoon. Broncos, Chargers, give me Bo Nix. Yeah, I don't know. Not thinking about it. I think the Chargers can get this win, but off the love, give me the Broncos at home. Bo Nix, Sean Payton, those guys are locked in again. I think the Broncos offense is getting that juju going. They're getting that good mojo around the office, the organization. I think it's going to be a good one for the Broncos. Good back-to-back statements versus AFC West. I think that'll be huge for them. Like I said, I think the Broncos are capable of sneaking in, being a 6th or 7th seed in the playoffs, and I still believe in that. I think their defense is great. Patrick Surtain had 2 interceptions last week, one being a 100-yard pick 6. I think they're going to make another statement and beat the Chargers this week, dude. And speaking of AFC West, I got the Steelers going to Las Vegas and beating the Raiders. No Davante Adams. Max Crosby can't save you with a terrible QB play. Steelers, they're going to run all over the damn Raiders. Max Crosby, TJ Watt, my bold prediction of the week, both get 2 sacks, at least 2 sacks in this game or more. Yeah, Steelers are just going to run over the Raiders, dude. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell versus Mike Tomlin? Hell no. Give me Mike Tomlin 7 days out of the week. Next up, and what could be game of the week, we know Tom Brady's already on the call. Got Lions, got Cowboys. Give me the Lions on the road. Think they're a better team. Cowboys, I just still don't believe in. It is what it is. I think the Lions are just a better team. Amon Ross St. Brown. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Sam Laporta. Expect a big Sam Laporta week. I know fantasy tight ends haven't been terrible, but expect a big Sam Laporta week. Expect a big week from tight ends all around. We just seen it with George Kittle. Expect more. Expect it. But yeah, give me the Lions winning this one. Aiden Hutchinson, just give me that Lions roster. I think they're better. I don't believe Jerry's World will have an impact on this game. Lions fan will probably fill half of the stadium up. Anyway, so yeah. Give me the Lions winning this one. I think it'll be a good game. But give me them Lions. Next up, Falcons at Panthers. Give me the Falcons. Don't got to talk about this one for much, man. Now they're very much rested after, what, this 10 days or so? Yeah, around 10 days since you last played. Kirk Cousins threw 500 yards. You know, Bijan Robinson, I expect a big game out of him, hopefully. You know, it's been a lot of mediocre weeks, but I think this will be the week he'll have a good one. You know, I expect that one from him. And yeah, just give me the Falcons, better team, better quarterback, better coaches. It's okay, Panthers. You're just going to lose to a good team. Now we're talking about the last game of the day, last game of the week we'll talk about for Friday. Bengals at Giants. Give me the Bengals. Malik Nabers not playing. All I need to know. Daniel Jones is going to pull some magic out of his ass to beat the Bengals. After an impressive week versus the Ravens, I believe in this Bengals squad a little bit more. And if they handle business versus the Giants in considerable fashion, where, well, we're talking 10-plus points, basically a blowout. If you can blow the Giants out on the road, I believe you in a lot more. Don't know how this is a primetime game. Seriously don't know this at all. Like, I felt like as soon as Jaden Daniels got drafted to the Commanders, you could have put Ravens, Commanders, primetime. Hell, I would have took the Saints and Bucks primetime. Packers, Cardinals, Sunday Night Football, I would have took. So many other games I would have took over the damn Giants and Bengals, Sunday Night Football. But yeah, give me the Bengals in a blowout. And that will wrap up the NFL Sunday slate and today's episode, guys. It has been an amazing week of sports. I've enjoyed it. I'm blessed to see the Chiefs and Royals playing the same week in person. So that was an amazing experience. All glory to God for making that happen. And, you know, I just want to thank you guys for making it all this way. If you did, it's been a jam-packed week already. It's going to be a jam-packed weekend. Great college football action. Hopefully this NFL slate looks mid on paper. Hopefully it lives up to the hype. Hopefully it lives up and does better. NBA preseason, of course, if you're into that. Video game, Sparking Zero, if you like this Dragon Ball Z. I really don't like Dragon Ball Z, but hell, I'm playing it. And so far, I'm enjoying it, even though I'm only doing tutorials right now. But man, there's a lot to do for you, a lot to do, you know, so find something that makes you happy, guys. That's just going to be the message of the day. Find something that makes you happy. So thank you for tuning in. On Monday, we'll talk about what happened, MLB playoffs, college football, NFL. Then next Friday, we'll get into some NBA for the first time, really. Give you some predictions, some standings, all of that, guys. So, as always, love and respect one another. And this has been Kenny G with the Born and Ball Podcast. And I'll catch you guys on Monday. Mwah.